Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject. My heart is fixed. Now let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we've had up to this time, and I pray you'll help me to be a blessing with the message this morning. I pray once again that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to concentrate on the message and not let our minds wander as the devil would want them to do. I pray you'll save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and meet the needs of your people through what has been done and now through the preaching of your word. Empower me, Holy Spirit, to preach your word and for the results that will follow. And I'll thank you for it in advance in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Psalm 111 and 112 should never be read without each other. In Psalm 111, we find the Lord as the rock, the foundation, the strength, and the stabilizer. In Psalm 112, we find the kind of people who have come from such stabilization, such strength, and such a foundation. You see, God is a great, omnipotent God, but that's not all we need. God is powerful, a powerful God in the heavens, but that's not all we need. Hundreds and thousands of people today have gathered themselves inside church buildings here in America and around this world to worship God somewhere up in the sky, wherever he may be. That's not the kind of God that you and I need. And they pray, "Oh, thou somewhere up in the air, we adore thee and worship thee. Wilt thou fill our needs?" That's not the kind of God we need. What we need is a God who is so powerful, as we see in Psalm 111, and a God who can change my life in Psalm 112. I need a God who is concerned about what I'm going to do tomorrow. I need a God who is concerned about the smallest, minute detail of my life. I am glad God is more than just the great God of Psalm 111. I am glad God makes the kind of people he does in Psalm 112. God is great. But his greatness is no help to us if it does not help us and strengthen us and change us and makes us a different person. Our text this morning is about a man. This psalmist knows a man. I think he has a certain man in mind. Notice what he says about this man in verse number 7 of Psalm 112. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He's not afraid. His heart is fixed. It is stable. He trusts in the Lord God. Look back what he says in verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In our ever-darkening world, when it seems like the world is filled with all kinds of evil, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be like this man is, and I hope we'll let him be a pattern for each one of us. He said in verse number 7, 112 Psalm, I'm not afraid of all of the bad news because my heart is fixed. And I'm going to continue to trust and serve and be faithful to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't know all this man faced in Psalm 112. I suppose similar things that we face today in our lives. Wars and rumors of wars. People losing their jobs. People looking for money and losing money they've had invested. The psalmist said, I know a man who's not bothered by all the bad news. I know a fellow who stands firm in the midst of evil things. He isn't bothered that North Korea has now developed missiles that could reach the shores of America. He's not bothered that Russia and China and other countries are building up their military and have bombs of mass destruction. He says, I know a man who watches the evening news, and when he watches it, he doesn't tremble. Why not? He's not afraid. Why isn't he afraid? Because his heart is fixed. He doesn't need a tranquilizer. He doesn't need a sleeping pill so he can get some rest and sleep at night. His heart is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Now, let's look a little closer at this man the psalmist is talking about. First of all, this man fears the Lord. Look at verse number one again. Blessed or happy is the man that fears the Lord. He's not afraid because he fears the Lord. He does not get ruffled because he fears the Lord. Dear folks, we had better fear the Lord more than we fear the news out of North Korea that they've got a missile that may reach our shores. I heard a preacher talking on television the other day, and he wrote a book several years ago entitled The Death of America. And he predicted several years ago that one day Korea, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and Iraq, and Iran would all have weapons of mass destruction and would all have missiles that could reach America. And he predicted that all of them would get together and fire their missiles and would completely annihilate the United States of America. Well, we see that possibility happening in our day and age. But, dear folks, we had better fear the Lord God more than we fear that thing. We better fear the Lord God more than we fear what Iran or Iraq or Russia or Pakistan or Afghanistan or any of those others threatens to do. We better, first of all, fear our Lord God. Turn with me to, keeping your finger in that area, Psalm 112, and go to Romans chapter 3, please, in the New Testament, page 1194, Romans chapter 3. I want to show you what I believe is a picture of our day, Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 18. Romans 3:18, page 1194, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Our nation today, saved people and lost people alike, there is absolutely no fear of God. That's a picture of our day. They call him the big daddy upstairs or the man upstairs, or we call him a great granddaddy up there in the sky who just wants to bless us with all kinds of good things. There's no reverence for our God today. Do you know why the Church of Jesus Christ has lost the influence that it once had? It's because the Church of Jesus Christ has become just exactly like the world. That's why. Amen. Then next, this man loves the Word of God. Let's go back again to Psalm 112 and the last part of verse number 1. He delighteth greatly in his commandments. In other words, he loves the Word of God. How much do you love the Word of God? This man loves the Word of God. He fears the Lord God. His heart is fixed. He's not upset. He's not falling apart. He's not all shook up. Here's a man who, when evil tiding comes, he stands his ground. Why does he? Because he loves the Word of God. There is nothing more in our present world that America needs this morning than for those of us who claim salvation in Jesus Christ to get back to this old book and begin to read it again and memorize it again and study it again and listen to it taught and preached and fall in love with it again. Amen. Then we'll have a generation of peace and calm and quiet assurance. Maybe all the bad tidings that we're hearing today in our beloved country may drive our country back to reading and studying and obeying the Word of God once again. David says, I know a man who fears the Lord, and he loves the Word of God. Did you know that I heard on the news the other day that guns are being purchased in our country at a record number? Do you know why they are? Because people are afraid. I don't know about you, but I would rather put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ than in all the guns that's in the world. Look at the protection that we have. Turn with me to Psalm 37, keeping your finger in Psalm 112. Psalm 37, page 616 of your Scofield Bible. 37th Psalm, page 616. Look at verse number 7 with me. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. We don't have to fret about all the threats in our world today, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass Let's go over to the 91st Psalm, to your right somewhat, to Psalm 91, if you will, please. Just go to your right until you come to Psalm 91, page 644, 644. Psalm 91, look at the protection we see in verse number 11. But he, God, shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. What protection God gives to his people. Now go over to your right a little bit further and to Psalm 121, the 121st Psalm. Over to your right, just a few more pages. Psalm 121, and that'll be on page 662. And look at the protection we have in these verses. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil and shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The psalmist says, I know a man who walks by my house. I have observed him. I know he fears the Lord God. I know he loves his Bible. I know his heart is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He says something else. He said, I also know he has a Christian home. Look back to Psalm 112 again and look at verses 2 and 3. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. He had a Christian home where God was first. I also know this man helps those who are in need. Look down in verse number 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. When he went to church, once in a while they took up an other's offering, as we will do after communion this morning. And he always gave some money to help the needy. God blessed him and his family so much that he wanted to share what God has blessed him with by sharing it with others. Then the psalmist says, however, there are some who dislike this man. Look back at 112th Psalm and verse number 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desires of the wicked shall perish. People are talking about this man. They say, why, he's a religious nut. He doesn't take the name of the Lord in vain like we do. He doesn't swear and cuss like we do. He doesn't use tobacco like we do. He doesn't drink alcoholic beverages like we do. He doesn't tell or listen to dirty jokes like we do. He doesn't go to nightclubs like we do. Why, he even carries a Bible and we don't. And he carries it to work. And would you believe at lunchtime he bows his head and thanks God for the lunch that's been provided for him and then takes a few minutes out to read his Bible like we don't? Everybody at work calls him a religious Joe, but that doesn't bother him at all. Why, he's the craziest man we've ever seen. He just doesn't do everything the rest of us do. He's different than most. Yes, he's different than most. If he indulged in the things that other people indulge in, he'd be as miserable as what they are. The psalmist said, I've watched this man. He fears the Lord. He loves the word of God. He helps others. He's unselfish. He's disliked by some. But I've noticed something about this man. When evil comes, it doesn't bother him at all. He just goes about his own business. Why does he do that? Because his heart is fixed. He has something inside of him. This man has character. He says, my heart is fixed, and no matter what come may, I am going to serve my God. I am going to trust my God. I am going to live for my God. Don't you wish you and I had what this man had? Then he knew that God always knows what is best. He believed that there's a God up in heaven, and this God up in heaven has his affairs on the dealings of mankind and is working out his plan for this world and everything that's in it. His heart is fixed, and he believes that God knows best. He believes what Paul wrote many years after this. Let me show you what Paul wrote, keeping your finger there, and go back to the New Testament again to Romans, the book of Romans and the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8. Page number 1202, a verse that most of us use a lot, I'm sure, as believers in Christ. Romans 8 and that famous verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I know I am in His perfect will for my life. And I believe that everything that's going to happen for me will happen for good, no matter what happens to me. I've had a few surgeries in my lifetime, and they've all fell under Romans 8:28. Because I love my God and I am in His perfect will for my life. I had a call the other day from somebody, and they said, we realized we got out of God's will. We did things that we should not have done. We got out of God's will, and they are miserable. I don't know if they can ever get back in God's perfect will or not. Maybe God's permissive will, but probably not in God's perfect will. Turn with me back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, page 721. Isaiah chapter 9, and look with me at verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, page 721, and verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Can't wait for that to happen. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace means tranquilizer. His name shall be called the Tranquilizer. Do you need a Jesus tranquilizer this morning? Are you so worried and overly concerned about what is happening in our world today? Or maybe in your own little world, there's something there that's troubling you? Then you need to take a Jesus tranquilizer. God loves us. God cares about us. God provides for us. And God loves us. And that ought to give us wonderful security. And in our very troubling world, I have some very great news. Look with me over in John chapter 14, back in the New Testament. John chapter 14, page 1135. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, and verses 1 and 2. And our Lord is speaking, and He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about the things that's going on in our world today. Don't worry about all the threats against our nation today. Just don't worry about all of those things. And don't worry about the problems in your own little world even. Believe in me. Believe I will handle all of these things. Believe in me. And believe this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This morning, we have good tidings from the Lord. And those good tidings will bring calmness, serenity, security, and composure. Let's go back one more time to Psalm 91, if you will with me, please. The 91st Psalm. Psalm 91. That'll be on page number 644, Psalm 91. Follow along as I begin reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. I hope all of you folks can say this morning, my heart is fixed. My faith and trust is in my God and Savior, and I will continue to serve Him come what may. Amen. Let me ask another question. Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? 2,000 years ago, God took upon Himself human flesh and came into this very world that He had created. He lived like you and I as a human being in human flesh, but so different than us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He kept every one of the commandments of which you and I have broken. And then He allowed Himself, as we sung this morning, that old rugged cross, He allowed Himself to be crucified on that old rugged cross to pay our sin debt. He shed His blood so you and I could have our sins forgiven and go to heaven one day. And then He died. They put Him in the grave. But 3 days and three nights later, He walked out of that grave. And He's alive forevermore. And He's coming back to this earth one day soon. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? If not, why don't you take Him today and be safe and secure forever. And then you won't have to worry about what the future holds because the Bible tells us. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for these two psalms that we've kind of looked at a little bit this morning. We thank you for allowing us to study about this certain man and what David saw in him. We thank you that his heart is fixed. We thank you that he fears God. We thank you that he has a good Christian home. We thank you that he gives to the poor. Lord, we need to pattern our lives after this great man. Look forward one day to seeing him in heaven and just visiting him with him for a while. But now the needs are down here in this building today. There may be a need of salvation. In a crowd this size, no doubt there's probably someone that's never truly been born again, and they need to take care of that today. I pray you'll help them to do that and not listen to Satan. There may be other decisions. Maybe some need to get baptized or join our church. You know what the needs are. Some maybe just need to come to this altar and do business with God. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Help folks make decisions this morning that they'll be glad 100 years from now that they've made. Bless the invitation as only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen.